If you would turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I have one verse of scripture that I'm going to be sharing from, so you know what that means, right? If it's just one verse, right, that means we're going to get out of here pretty quick, right? Yeah, in your dreams, amen. Hallelujah. Hey, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the very last verse in that chapter, the Apostle Paul is writing to Christians just like me and you. They had their issues just like me and you. And in verse 58, the Apostle Paul writes, under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God, says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Back in the year 1858, a common man named John Gray died and was buried at Greyfriars Cemetery in Edinburgh, Scotland. The gravesite was completely unmarked, and before long, it seemed like everybody had forgotten John Gray except for one. John Gray had this little Scottish terrier named Bobby. And one day after John Gray's funeral, Bobby was found laying on top of his master's grave. But animals weren't allowed in the cemetery, and so the keeper forced Bobby out of the cemetery. But the next morning, guess where he was? Right back there on top of his master's grave. Being a little more forceful this time, the keeper forced Bobby out. Next morning, there he was atop his master's grave. But then the third morning came, and even though it was freezing cold, pouring down rain, Bobby was found again, lying, shivering atop his master's grave. This time, the cemetery keeper found pity on Bobby, gave him a little food, and that little Scottish terrier made the cemetery his home. No matter how rough the weather got, every single day, there was nothing that would keep Bobby from forsaking this holy spot where he found and fulfilled what he thought was his holy duty. For 14 years, that's 98 dog years, y'all, Bobby kept constant watch and guarded his master's grave until he died in 1872. Born again believers find their identity and fulfill their holy duty on the rock that Jesus built, which is the church, the body of Christ. Friends, if a little dog can be that devoted to a dead master, how much more should we be devoted to a living Savior and Lord? Who said amen? She said amen. Thank you, darling. I got one fan in here. Preach it. That's right. You know, but it is rare, really, to witness this kind of devotion, this kind of deep devotion. But I say that amongst the people of God, that kind of devotion ought to be commonplace. Every church should be filled with believers that are this devoted. But what is devotion? Well, simply said, devotion is love in action. Devotion is affection plus commitment. And it is our devotion to God, empowered by the Spirit of God, that it enables us to stand our ground for the purposes of God. And make no doubt, my friend, God wants you and He wants me to stand our ground as Christians. And he even said so much when he said, "My beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Paul told us in Ephesians 4:27 to give no place to the devil. That word place refers to a piece of ground. A piece of ground. In other words, the Bible is telling us to give the devil no ground to stand on in our lives. No ground to stand on. It is God's desire, it is God's plan for us to learn to stand our ground and not give it up. Friends, I pray that through today's message that you're going to let the Lord speak to your heart. I pray that you will then decide that you are going to stand your ground for Jesus. I pray then that you will reclaim any ground you may have lost over the years. This morning, I have but three questions for you. As a Christian, are you giving up ground? Are you giving up ground? You see, too many believers these days are giving up ground in their life. Paul addressed this in the Corinthian church, and he said, "Lest Satan should take advantage of us." You see, that word advantage means beachhead. Beachhead. A beachhead is a little piece of ground. It's a little piece of ground where the enemy launches attacks at you. And our enemy uses beachheads to launch all manner of attacks into our lives. Back when we used to deliver meals at Bethel Meals on Wheels, Janet and I befriended this friend up there near the Tennessee line whose name was Bub Forsythe. Does anybody else remember Bub? You remember Bub? You remember Bub? Wow, good, good. Well, Bub was about 92 years old when we were delivering meals to him, and he passed away in 2014, but Bub was a World War II veteran. And any time that you would talk to Bub, he would remind us that he was one of the guys that landed in Normandy when the Nazis were trying to occupy France. They were trying to go in, Bub and the Americans were trying to go in and reclaim ground that had been lost to the Nazis. And anytime you talk to Bub about that, he got very emotional. Bub got very emotional because he lost his brother in that Normandy invasion. In fact, his brother Noah actually flew a glider into France as a soldier. But Bub also lost many, many friends as the enemy continued to resist when all the armed forces were trying to retake France. And I asked him, "Bub, what kept you going? As your friends were dying around you, what kept you going?" And I remember him saying that he knew that from France, Nazi Germany was going to launch assaults at the free world, and if they were victorious in that, that tyranny would take over and that freedom would be at stake. So I said, "Well, what did you do?" He said, "We refused to give ground." Bub refused to give up ground. And you know the rest of the story. They were victorious. See, when we allow Satan a foothold in our life, when we allow him a beachhead from which he can launch attacks at us, when we give him ground from which he can attack our children, attack our church, and attack our community, then we're allowing the enemy to attack us without fighting back. We must not give up any more ground. Y'all, we have already given up too much ground. Would you agree? For example, we've given up public ground. Man, it just seems like anymore that Jesus is just not welcome in places anymore. He doesn't seem welcome in the White House. He doesn't seem welcome in the schoolhouse. He doesn't seem welcome in the courthouse. Why is that? Listen, it's because we gave up that ground. Not only have we given up already this public ground, but I'm seeing that we're also giving up parental ground. Many parents, it seems like to me, are losing control of their kids. In fact, even here in the Bible Belt, many parents are failing to see the importance of raising their children according to the Word of God. Why is that? It's because we gave up that ground. But we've also already given up praying ground. It just seems like we don't have any Daniels in our day. You know, those faithful children of God who are willing to seek the Father's face no matter what comes against them, no matter what threatens them, they're going to keep on praying. It seems that most people and many Christians are just too busy to seek the will of God anymore. It seems like we've just given up our praying ground. So why, y'all? Why do we continue giving up ground? It's probably for a lot of reasons, but one primary reason is, I think, is that even as Christians, we're ignorant. I'm not coming down on y'all because I'm more ignorant than anybody. For example, I think often we're ignorant of our enemy, Satan, lest he take advantage of us. Lest he take advantage of us. And as Paul said, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Yeah, we're not ignorant of his devices. We're not ignorant of his tricks, his traps, his temptations. We know that. We can recognize that. But what I think we are ignorant of is Satan's abilities. I think we are ignorant of Satan's power or the lack thereof. You see, Satan is not omniscient. He is not all-knowing like God is. Satan is not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere at the same time like God does. Satan is not omnipotent. He's not all-powerful. Only God is. And while he can't read your thoughts, boy, he knows how you think. Although Satan can't force you to do anything, he can sure tempt you to do a lot of things. You see, Satan has about 6,000 years of experience dealing with people like me and you. And he knows how you think. He knows how you act. And he knows what you're prone to do and not do. So as believers, while we don't know everything about the enemy, we do know his purposes. Jesus said that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Peter said in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, be sober and vigilant because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking to whom he may devour. Devour you up, steal what you got, kill you and yours, and destroy anything good in your life. So how in heaven's name am I supposed to fight back against such an enemy? Well, Paul addressed that too. He said in Ephesians chapter 6, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, against the schemings of the devil. And you need to read the rest of that chapter, because it'll give you ammunition so that you can fight back against this arch enemy of God. So my point is this: don't be ignorant of your enemy. Stand your ground. Don't be ignorant about the enemy, Satan, but also don't be ignorant about your Savior. Jesus is the greatest resource we have, not only for eternal life, but for abundant life here and now. But how often do you and I fail to turn to Him to avoid the temptations of the devil? Too many times. Too many times. See, greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. You need to remember that. Greater is He. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. You need to know who is in you. You need to know who lives in you. Don't be ignorant of where your Savior lives. He is in you. But we're also ignorant, I think, of the Christian standing. Last week at the gym, I ran into a young fella named Grant. And I'd seen him there before, but he came up to me, and asked me this question. He said, are you a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? I never heard that one before, and I didn't even know him. And I said, well, yes, I am a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he introduced himself. I did me, and we found out where each other went to church and whatnot. But then after Grant left, what I really wish I had said is, yeah, I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, but more importantly than that, I'm a child of the King of Kings. I need to know my standing. You need to know your standing in Jesus Christ. Never forget who you are in Christ. You are a child of God. You are the possession of the Lord. John said it this way. He said, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. Never forget who you are in Christ. Paul told the Christians at Galatia, in Galatia 3:26, for you all are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. So never forget who you are in Christ, but never forget what you have in Christ. In John chapter 16, Jesus Himself said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. And when He has come, He will convict the world of sin. He will convict the world of righteousness and of judgment. Friends, can you imagine what you and I would try to get away with if we didn't have the Holy Spirit of God? Man, when He quickens my spirit, when He quickens my soul, and says, boy, you better quit it. You better stop it. But boy, I tell you know what I'd try to get away with if I didn't have Him? Probably a whole lot. So we're ignorant of our enemy Satan. I think often we're ignorant of our Savior. We're ignorant of the standing of the Christian, but I think we're also ignorant of the power of sin. In Ephesians chapter 4, I think I spoke this passage when I spoke at the Ladies Women's Day. And in verse 25, Paul wrote to these believers saying, therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for you are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Listen, nor give place to the devil. Don't you give up any ground to the devil. Don't you give up one grain of sand to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor working with his hands what is good, that they may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word come out of your mouth, but only what is good for the necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Friends, we give up way, way, way too much ground to sin. And when we do, the Bible says that we grieve He who occupies your soul. We grieve the Holy Spirit of God. The next verse there in Ephesians 4 says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed on the day of redemption. Sin grieves the Holy Spirit. But sin also gives ground, gives place to the devil. Friend, sin gives Satan a beachhead, a foothold, a piece of ground by which he can launch attacks into your family's life. Launch attacks into your children's life. And yet sometimes we just live in sin. We need to think about how many people are affected when we as children of God are active in sin. Thank God that in Jesus we have forgiveness. But listen, sin never has to happen in the first place. It does not have to happen. You've always heard it said, well, we're all sinners, even though we're Christians, we're still sinners. But you know, it doesn't have to be that way. You don't have to sin. It is your choice. You can choose not to. You can choose to listen to the Holy Spirit of God. You don't have to sin. Just don't give any ground to Him. Don't give any ground to sin. See, up to this point, I think that if you're honest with me today, you've probably been a little ignorant about your enemy, Satan. We've probably been at least a little bit ignorant of our Savior, Jesus. If you haven't been ignorant about your standing, maybe you've been living like you're ignorant of your standing. And maybe you're ignorant or acting ignorant about the power of sin in your life. So I ask you again, have you been giving up ground? You say, well, Bill, no, not really. Been doing pretty good. Not giving up much ground. And if that's the case, if you're not giving up ground, are you gaining ground? See, because if you're not gaining ground, you know what you're doing? You're giving up ground. Are you gaining ground? See, surrendered ground can be reclaimed. You can get it back. But boy, oh boy, is it costly. It's always costly. It always requires a whole lot more to reclaim it than it did to gain it in the first place. Just ask World War II veterans. They'll tell you, America gave ground. And boy, the soldiers paid the ultimate price. Their very lives. The USA, I think, in my view, has given up way too much ground, especially in the spiritual arena, in terms of our spiritual roots. I mean, we have seen some inroads lately. I mean, I heard some courthouses that got the Ten Commandments up now. I heard over in Oklahoma that they actually allowed the Bible to be used as a book for curriculum to teach history. But nationally speaking, we know that they ain't no more praying in schools. Nationally speaking, there ain't no more Bibles in schools. We know that nationally speaking, teachers can still get in trouble for sharing their faith in schools. So what are we doing? Instead of reclaiming lost ground, instead of gaining new ground, what are we doing? We're giving up ground still. Still giving up ground. What are we doing? In essence, we are destroying ourselves from within one generation at a time. Let us not do that. Let's don't give up any more ground. Let's start gaining ground. Because sadly at this point, if we're going to gain ground, if we're going to reclaim any ground that we've lost to the enemy, let's face it, we're going to have to go to war. How many of y'all are ready to go to war? And what I'm talking about is not a fleshly war. I'm talking about spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare. You see, there are two ways to regain ground that we've lost to the enemy. One is by God's people repenting. Turning away. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. Let me get to the next place. Sorry about that. The Bible says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly. But they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. We're not in a fleshly war. We are in a spiritual war. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, the Bible says, Paul said, recorded by Luke, truly these times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, to turn away from sinful behavior. And then you all know what God said to Solomon back in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. The Lord appeared to Solomon at night, having heard his prayer. And God said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, my people now, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. It ain't happening until God's people get right. So, you're going to either need to get into the war or become a casualty of the war. You pick. Either humble yourself or be humbled. You pick. You see, the choice is ours. But it's not only repentance that's necessary, it's also renewal that's necessary to be able to regain lost ground. Paul wrote to the Roman believers saying, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, how? Here it comes. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Repentance and renewal. David prayed it right. In Psalm 51:10, he said, create in me a clean heart, O God. Recreate in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Repentance and renewal is the only way we're going to reclaim lost ground. So don't you think it's about time that we, the church, rose up and started recovering ground that we've lost to the enemy? Don't you think it's about time that we won back our families, won back our schools? Don't you think it's about time that we reclaim the ground that was won by the finished work of Jesus on Calvary's cross? I say, yeah, it is. Long overdue. It's time. As Sean Connery would say in that movie, The Untouchables, he said, what are you prepared to do? What are you prepared to do? A lot of truth in that. You can listen to me all day long and you say, amen. You can agree with me to your heart's content, but what are you prepared to do? It's time for us to rise up. It's time for us to stand strong in the Lord for Jesus' sake. It's time. But listen, it begins with one. The one you see in the mirror every day. It begins with you. Have you been giving up ground? Have you been gaining ground? While you're doing one or maybe both, you better be guarding your ground. Friend, don't you dare leave here today discouraged. Because the church ain't going down, she's going up. Amen. Yeah, we've given up a lot of ground, precious ground. But by the grace of God, we can reclaim it for Jesus. Friend, there is still much ground that we have not lost. But we got to guard it. Guard it with our very lives if necessary. And what does that mean? Listen to me very carefully. You better get your kids here. If you don't want to bring them here, you make sure they're in a church somewhere where they're hearing the Word of God. Get your kids here. Get your kids here. I'm giving up a lot of ground. If we're going to reclaim it, you better get your kids here. Jesus said in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You see, not only are we set free by the truth, but we remain free by the truth. You better get your kids here. You need to get your kids here. Even the whole armor of God begins and ends with the truth. Paul said, gird about your waist with the belt of truth. And then he ends up saying, taking up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the Word of truth. It's all about the truth, you see. And it's not enough to carry this truth around in your hands. You got to get this truth in your heart if you want the victory, if you want to reclaim the ground. The truth has got to become a permanent part of who you are and who your children are. See, ultimately, the truth is a person. The truth is Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, I am the truth and the way, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Boy, if our children could just learn that, that he's the truth. See, only a pure, holy, and honest relationship with God that comes only through Christ is one that can bring victory. So if we're going to reclaim lost ground, if we are going to guard the ground we've got, then we are going to have to start walking in the truth, especially in front of our kids. We got to take an honest look at ourselves and say, are you totally surrendered to Christ? Let's get real for a second. Are you totally surrendered to Jesus Christ as a believer in his name? Or, if you're honest, you're just giving him lip service once a week. Which is it? I mean, who is it that calls the shots in your life? You husbands, I know who calls the shots in your life. Amen. And that's a good thing. But who calls the shots in your life? Do you want to be everything that God has saved you to be? If so, you better buckle up and get ready to enter into combat against the enemy. You got to be ready to attack his strongholds and those beachheads and those footholds and take back what he's taken from you. You got to be ready. And I challenge you today to take back your life. Take back your family today. Take back your home, your children, your personal walk with Jesus. Take back anything that you have yielded to Jesus, to the devil. Take it back. It doesn't belong to the enemy. It belongs to you in Jesus' name. So if you want victory, friend, I'll tell you, God's got victory to give you. In that verse preceding, verse 58, Paul said, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Will you stand your ground today? As a Christian, will you just examine yourself for a moment? Will you ask yourself these hard questions and say, have I been giving up ground? Have I been gaining ground? Are there more areas of my life that I'm willing to turn over to Christ? Am I gaining ground? Am I guarding the ground that I've got? If you're not yet a believer and you've been thinking about maybe giving your life to Christ. You've been thinking about maybe being saved from the penalty of sin. You've been thinking about being born again and heaven bound. You've been thinking about it. Today, I want you to know that you can receive the victory that Jesus died to provide you. You can receive it, but you have to receive it. John said, as many as received him, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Have you received him? Because when you receive him, you also receive the victory in him. Let me pray for you. Father God, our Lord Jesus Christ, sweet, sweet Holy Spirit, we praise you and thank you today for the privilege of your word speaking to our innermost spirit. Father, we come to a time of self-examination this morning. And Father, we ask you to point out areas that we've been giving up. Perhaps some more areas that we can gain ground. And Lord, how we can more aptly guard the ground you've given us. Father, I pray if there's one here today, even one, that has not received Jesus and therefore been given the right to become a child of God because they believe in the name of Jesus, Lord, that today would be their day. Father, if it would just be a second, a millisecond of courage to take one step forward, one step out, Jesus, you will take them the rest of the way. Bring them to the front. Lord, we'll pray with them. I'll show them what the Word of God says about how they can receive the victory, your victory that you purchased for us. Father, we thank you today that your Word has been real with us. Lord, as a nation, we better be paying attention. But Lord, it begins with us. More specifically, it begins with the men and women that we see in the mirror every day. Lord, let us take a stand. Let us not give up any more ground than we've given up. Let us gain ground and reclaim that which the enemy has tried to take. And Father, let us guard the ground that you've given us. Let us preserve it in Jesus' name. Lord, this is your time for anyone to make a decision. And we give you glory for what you might do today. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.